Hello, knowledge seekers. In this episode of 20 Minute Books, we are diving into At Home by Bill Bryson, published in 2010. This book provides a captivating exploration into the history of domestic spaces, guiding readers through the evolution of various rooms in a house, from the kitchen to the bathroom. Each chapter delves into the historical and social significance of these rooms, unraveling how they transformed into the spaces we are familiar with today. Bill Bryson, a prolific author known for his insightful books on science, language, and travel, brings his characteristic wit and thorough research to this study. Having served as a journalist and chief copy editor for The Times and The Independent, Bryson's engaging narrative style makes the complex histories of everyday spaces accessible and entertaining. At Home is a must-read for students and enthusiasts of sociology, anthropology, and history, as well as anyone interested in the intricacies of domestic life. Join us as we uncover the stories hidden in the corners of our own homes, presented by an author celebrated for making the ordinary seem extraordinary. At Home, A Short History of Private Life. Introduction. Unveiling the secrets of your everyday space. Discover the hidden history of your home. Have you ever paused to ponder why our homes are structured the way they are, or why certain culinary staples like salt and pepper have become irreplaceable in our kitchens? Perhaps you've questioned the origins of everyday items like the canned green beans sitting quietly in your pantry. If these thoughts spark curiosity, prepare for a delightful exploration into the hidden narratives woven into the corners of our very own homes. This narrative isn't just about structures and items. It's a deeper dive into the history encapsulated within the walls we reside in, a look at why and how our living spaces and the objects within them came to be. Delve into a journey that traverses through a typical house, each room whispering secrets of the past, revealing the profound impact of history on our domestic lives. From the intriguing tale of French soldiers who, lacking a can opener, resorted to shooting at canned food to access their contents, to peculiar historic opinions that once branded board games as dangerously stimulating for women, these stories challenge our modern perceptions. Moreover, learn why medieval monks carried a certain notorious reputation for less than ideal hygiene practices. This exploration isn't just about historical quirks. It serves as a mirror, reflecting on how far societal norms and technologies have evolved, shaping the convenience and culture of modern domesticity. Prepare to see your house not just as a place of personal history, but as a capsule of cultural evolution, reflecting centuries of transformation in habits, design, and societal norms. Whether it's the dining room where families gather, the quietude of the bedroom, or the functional simplicity of the kitchen, every corner holds a story waiting to be told. Part 1. From shooting at cans to ensuring food safety, the evolution of canned goods. Imagine a kitchen where, instead of the convenience of pulling a tab to open a can of peaches, you needed a chisel or even a firearm. Such was the plight faced by many in the past, particularly soldiers, when it came to accessing the contents of canned foods. This snapshot from history highlights both the ingenuity and the struggles surrounding the early days of food preservation. Historically, ensuring a reliable supply of non-perishable food was a significant challenge. Before refrigeration and modern storage techniques, people faced the daunting task of keeping food edible through harsh conditions, especially during long winters. In the late 18th century, an innovative Frenchman named François Appert proposed a method that seemed promising: storing food in sealed glass jars. Although a revolutionary idea at the time, these jars were not without their flaws, as they often failed to seal properly, allowing air and bacteria to spoil the food inside. The quest for a better solution led to the creation of the metal can by Brian Donkin, an Englishman, in the early 19th century. Originally made from wrought iron, these cans were excessively heavy and notoriously tough to open. Some were even equipped with instructions for opening them using a hammer and chisel. And during military campaigns, soldiers resorted to shooting or stabbing the cans to access their rations. The struggle with can openings persisted until the advent of the can opener in 1925. Prior to this, lighter can materials had been introduced, yet the challenge of opening them easily remained significant. Meanwhile, another sinister issue plagued the food industry: adulteration. In the 17th century, it was common practice to extend or fake food products with harmful or deceitful additives. Sugar might be mixed with gypsum, sand, or dust. Tea could include leaves mixed with dirt, and items like vinegar and milk were enhanced with dangerous additives like sulfuric acid and chalk. With little regulation, consumers had no way of knowing the true contents of what they were consuming. Today, we benefit from strict government-enforced food standards, ensuring that the nightmares of food adulteration and unsafe food preservation practices are largely things of the past. This journey from dangerous and inconvenient methods of food storage to our current standards of safety and convenience underlines not just technological progress, but also a broader commitment to public health and well-being. Part 2: Adaptation and Innovation. The Building Material Shift in Colonial America. Ever wondered about the origins of the typical materials used in building American homes? The story weaves through the practices of colonial British and early American settlers, revealing a tale of necessity and ingenuity. Initially, British colonists in North America faced a significant challenge: the absence of limestone, essential for constructing durable mud and stick homes like those common back in Britain. This critical shortage meant that the early settlers' houses were notoriously unstable, often not lasting more than a decade. Compounding the problem was the scarcity of wood. Contrary to popular belief, vast forests initially didn't equate to an abundant supply of timber. Instead, much of the woodland had already been cleared by Native American tribes, primarily to create better hunting grounds. Early colonial efforts to sustain wood supplies by topping trees, allowing the remainder to regrow, proved to be an unsustainable solution for building material needs. Faced with these challenges, the settlers were compelled to turn to stone, a material that was available yet underutilized back in Britain, due to its weight and the high cost of transportation. In Britain, stone was typically reserved for grandiose structures like churches and castles, owing to these logistical challenges. It required immense resources, evidenced by construction projects like monasteries that needed at least 40,000 cartloads of stone. In the colonies, however, the abundance of stone and the lack of alternatives pushed settlers to innovate and adapt, using this sturdy but previously disregarded material for everyday construction. This shift not only addressed the practical needs of housing, but also reflects a broader theme of adaptation to local resources that characterized early American settlement. This narrative of building material evolution paints a vivid picture of how environmental and economic factors can shape architectural practices and, ultimately, the landscapes we inhabit today. Part 3: The Rise and Fall of Brick Popularity in London's Architecture. Material choice in building construction isn't only about practicality or availability. It's also heavily influenced by the ever-changing winds of fashion. In England, particularly in London, where limestone was scarce, brick became a favored material, thanks in part to the abundant local clay that could be transformed into bricks right at the construction sites, thus saving on transportation costs. Initially, brick stood as a practical and economically sensible choice for many builders. However, their popularity witnessed a dramatic shift due to political and economic changes brought about by the American Revolutionary War. With the war's end came a cessation of tax revenues from America, straining Britain's finances. In response, in 1784, the British government imposed a brick tax, making this once economical building material considerably more expensive and less attractive. As a result, bricks quickly fell out of fashion. Their usage in construction became associated with poor taste and economic hardship. Prominent figures of the era, such as architect Isaac Ware, even denounced brick as an improper material for the construction of refined homes. This new stigma drove the affluent and fashionable to seek alternative materials, like stucco and stone, to express their wealth and good taste. During the late Georgian era, spanning from 1714 to 1830, stucco became a popular solution for covering up brick houses, giving them the grand appearance of being made from stone. This cosmetic application of stucco involved a mix of cement, lime, and water, skillfully applied to create a smooth, stone-like facade. Additionally, some homes went a step further by adding a facade of actual stone to conceal their underlying brick structures. A notable example of this architectural strategy is Apsley House on the edge of London's Hyde Park, famously known as the residence of the Duke of Wellington, which showcases a grand outward appearance of stone over its basic brick construction. This transformation in building materials, driven by economic shifts and aesthetic preferences, highlights how fashion can influence architectural decisions, extending even to the materials used in construction. Now, let's turn our attention to the interior evolution of homes by exploring the historical development of one of the most personal spaces, the bedroom. Part 4, Bedtime Battles, the Troublesome Sleeping Conditions of the 19th Century. Today's complaints about mattresses, too hard, too soft, or just not quite right, are luxury issues compared to the sleep struggles encountered in the 19th century. Back then, people didn't just toss and turn because of discomfort. They fought literal battles in their beds. In this era, beds often doubled as habitats for both the intended sleeper and a host of uninvited guests. The typical mattress was stuffed not only with straw, but also feathers, hair, sea moss, and even sawdust, creating a welcoming home for bed bugs, moths, mice, and rats. The bedtime rustle wasn't your blanket, but more likely a scurrying rodent or creepy crawler. The intrusion of pests was so common that individuals like Eliza Ann Summers, in an 1897 letter, reported resorting to sleeping with shoes in their beds to use as weapons against nighttime nuisances like rats. Yet the challenges didn't stop with wildlife. The 19th century also carried heavy moral implications surrounding the bed and its associated activities. During this time, it was widely believed that sexual arousal in women during conception or pregnancy could cause irreversible harm to the fetus. As a bizarre extension of this belief, women were often cautioned against overly stimulating activities such as reading or engaging in board games. Men faced their own set of stringent societal norms. The prevailing view was that any sexual release outside of marital intercourse could lead to profound physical and mental deterioration. This led to the creation of devices like the penile pricking ring in the 1850s, a nightmarish contraption designed to discourage nocturnal erections with inward-pointing pins that would painfully jab at any signs of arousal. Looking back on these bygone bedtime woes, it's clear how far we've come in understanding human biology and improving the comfort and hygiene of our sleeping environments. Now, as you settle into your modern mattress tonight, perhaps with a newfound appreciation, remember the significant strides and oddities in the history of sleep that have led us to the comfort we enjoy today. Part 5, From Roman Baths to Medieval Aversion, the Surprising Evolution of Bathing Practices. Picture a time when a bath was not just a quick daily ritual, but an elaborate social affair in astoundingly grand bathing complexes. This was the reality in ancient Rome, where bathing went beyond mere hygiene and represented a sophisticated culture of relaxation and social interaction. Ancient Romans made their bathhouses centers of community life, incorporating amenities such as libraries, barbershops, tennis courts, and even brothels, making these facilities accessible and enjoyable for people from all walks of life. However, this bathing culture underwent a dramatic transformation with the advent of early Christian doctrine in medieval times. A sharp pivot from Roman indulgence, many medieval Christian thinkers equated physical cleanliness with moral laxity, advocating that closeness to God was better achieved through foregoing baths. This perspective was vividly illustrated by incidents such as the discovery of lice in the undergarments of the esteemed Archbishop of Canterbury, Thomas Becket, upon his death in 1170, and the veneration of English monk Godric, who became a saint after journeying from England to Jerusalem without bathing. The shift from bathing to avoiding it had profound implications, especially as Europe grappled with devastating outbreaks like the bubonic plague around 1350. At the time, the connection between hygiene and disease prevention was obscure, and prevailing medical theories mistakenly declared bathing harmful. It was believed that hot baths opened up the body's pores, making an individual more susceptible to infections. As a result, for centuries, Europeans avoided baths, thinking they were safeguarding themselves by keeping their skin covered with sweat and dirt, effectively keeping their pores closed against disease. Unfortunately, this practice did little but exacerbate the spread of diseases, contributing to the rampant plagues that afflicted medieval society. Reflecting on these historical shifts in bathing practices reveals much about the evolving understanding of health and hygiene, influenced by cultural, religious, and scientific perceptions through the ages. Part 6. Salt, a necessity of life. Pepper, a luxury of taste. Take a look at your dinner table, and you'll likely find salt and pepper shakers, a duo so common that their presence is nearly universal in Western dining. But what is it that makes salt and pepper the dynamic duo of the dining table? Starting with salt, this essential mineral is crucial for human survival. Throughout history, humans have gone to extraordinary lengths to secure salt, which has been pivotal not only for its flavor but also for its vital role in human health. Without salt, life itself cannot be sustained, a fact known even in ancient times, prompting such extremes as the Aztecs drying urine to extract edible salt. Moreover, powerful historical figures, such as England's Henry VIII in 1513, showcased their wealth and power by slaughtering 25,000 oxen and preserving the meat with vast quantities of salt. Contrastingly, pepper does not share the life-sustaining qualities of salt, but rather boasts a history of popularity and luxury. While it is not essential for survival, pepper was highly cherished among the ancient Romans, who greatly influenced its spread across Europe. Its value was so recognized that during the siege in 408 CE, the Romans offered 3,000 pounds of pepper as a tribute to pacify the marauding Goth tribes. Even in medieval times, pepper remained a symbol of wealth and prestige. Duke Karl of Bourgogne, for instance, used 380 pounds of pepper to adorn his wedding in 1468. Not as a spice for consumption, but as a decoration to display his opulence. The story of salt and pepper is not just about two condiments on the dinner table. It's a tale that touches on basic survival, extravagant luxury, and everything in between. These staples are tiny yet potent emblems of the broader narratives of history, reflecting the human journey through needs and desires. As such, every sprinkle of salt and dash of pepper carries with it centuries of human endeavor, trade, and cultural exchange. Final summary. The concept of home has undergone a profound transformation throughout history. What once served primarily as a shelter from the elements has evolved into a complex space shaped by cultural shifts, technological advancements, and changing human desires. Today's domestic spaces reflect not just our basic needs, but also our personal tastes, cultural practices, and technological innovations, standing in stark contrast to the homes of the past. Historically, homes were primarily functional, built from whatever materials were available and designed to meet basic needs of protection and warmth. The choices of building materials and the methods of construction were deeply influenced by local availability and economic constraints, leading to a diverse range of architectural styles across different cultures and time periods. In contemporary times, however, homes have become places of comfort and expressions of individuality. Advances in technology and architecture allow for a broad array of materials and designs, enabling personalization of space that was unimaginable in earlier centuries. Modern homes are equipped with conveniences that cater to a lifestyle that prioritizes comfort, efficiency, and aesthetic appeal. Additionally, the role of the home has expanded. It's no longer just a place to live and sleep, but often also a place of work, recreation, and social gatherings. This multifunctional nature reflects broader societal changes, including the rise of remote work and the blending of indoor and outdoor living spaces. The journey from basic shelters to the dynamic, personalized homes of today illustrates not just changes in architecture and technology, but shifts in what we value about our personal spaces. The evolution of home is a mirror reflecting our collective priorities and the advancements of civilization, demonstrating how our private living spaces are intricately connected to broader cultural and technological landscapes. Thank you for joining me today on this journey of learning and discovery as we explored the insights of another thought-provoking book in our growing library of knowledge. If you've enjoyed our time together, please take a moment to follow our podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and share 20-minute books with other knowledge seekers. Your support truly means a lot. Don't forget to join me again in the next episode, where we will delve into another enriching book. Until then, happy reading and happy listening.